Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Solar Monkey, and it is the ninth day of the Blue Night Wave Spell, and it is the Crystal Moon Day 24. And the moon is getting full. I just need to point that out to myself and let it be part of the rationale for how intense I am feeling, or life is feeling, in my midst. And I want to kind of get through this podcast by talking about the Blue Night Wave spell in its effect on me, and I am glad that I can tie it all together because that's relevant and it's going to offer a new and different insight into the Blue Night motif that I haven't mentioned yet. So I'm in a lot of physical pain because I guess I overdid it in the home renovation department, and my right arm shoulder, where I use all of my directive power, has caused my neck to completely seize up a couple of days ago, and I've been in and out of trying to relax it enough to not be in extreme pain, but I just had a new resurgence of that. So I'm just speaking from a lot of dogs. I'm just caught up in the seizing pain in my body. But one of the identifiers of blue night, as if we needed more beyond dreams and abundance and active intuition and life seeming dreamlike when we wake, and dreams being really impactful, I think, for each of us, that our dreams are noteworthy or memorable, is that our body ends up being a home or shelter for our soul. So if we look at the hieroglyph of blue night, what we see is a hearth and maybe what we call the tent flaps that show up in a few of the icons of the 20 tribes. And that means that we're looking into some kind of lodging, a place of shelter. It shows up in White Wizard, where the shaman creates a shelter for healing for people to enter. And it shows up in Blue Night. And in Blue Night, it's this idea that in order to stay safe enough to have the comfort of dreaming, sound sleep, deep sleep, where we let go of a kind of wakeful vigilance and can drift into the dream time, disassociate from our bodies, and have this paranormal experience in the dream world, the dream realm, that ends up being a mirror, right, for our bodies being the place that our soul shelters for the lifetime, the incarnation that we're in, as if our souls take up dwelling for however many years that our lifetime lasts, and then go back to a homeless state or a state of wandering, journeying, and then re-enter a different body in a different lifetime and take shelter there. So you can pay attention to blue night days, blue night times, the wave spell, as a check-in for your body and its wellness and how comfortable you are being in it. So that's how I know that this is not just
It's not random. It's not meaningless. I mean, I think any wave spell where I suddenly had a bout of physical challenge, I could torque here aloud and in my mind and find some kind of display of astrology that would answer my questions about why it's happening now. That's how I operate. But I am really comfortable saying, oh, right, it's a body-centered time. And I have been really working my body hard and for moons and moons and moons. And so my body is having a little reminder to me that it needs repair the way homes do. And I've taken a little step back from some of the building enterprise to do small special things for my body and to try to remember that prior to this project, I had gotten really good at treating my body like more of a temple in the typical ways of healthy eating and enough rest and the right kind of exercise. And beyond that, a lot of what our bodies need to be healthy is not stress, right? Exercises and relaxation and release. So I'm glad to be reminded of that. And but it makes me limited in how much I have to give all of you or the few of you that listen. So you have to kind of endure that I'm going to just do whatever I need to do in this half hour and talk about things in a way that makes sense to me so that I am not putting too much out there beyond my body prism. One of the things that has happened in this wave spell that's interesting and also related to this home dwelling concept is just that I have this recognition that I'll be able to finish my home renovation proper, the inside of my home where I take shelter in this natural time 13 moon year. And that's exciting. That's only 4.5 weeks away, but that's how close I am. And it's been a massive project. So that is a lot of good accomplishment for a blue storm year. It also reminds me just how we focus as we finish out the crystal moon on endings, and that we take the cosmic moon that's to come starting next Sunday as that exhalation and observation of what it's like to be in transition from a finishing state to readying ourselves for a new beginning. And there isn't really any preparedness that we do in the cosmic time, in the cosmic tone, the moon or the day when it's a wave spell of 13 days. We don't, I think, orchestrate any of that preparing for the next thing. Instead, we organically are put in a suspended state of not being able to start much of anything and also not really complete much of anything. Just a little bit. I think we're a little ineffective in the cosmic tone and in a meaningful way. We're meant to be in a relative state of inactivity so that we can experience something that is the really deep stillness of the aftermath of a big journey that has been displayed in any kind of wave spell formation that we pass through. So I am house focused. I am, of course, a little bit more body focused. And in terms of the abundance, I had demarcated or observed or intuited that I probably would experience my abundance in this wave spell, not as a bunch of cash rewards coming in, but just more of the acceptance and relaxation around how much cash I have to outlie and give to the universe or the people, the players in my life doing work here without stress, without a sense of like, I can't afford it, I can't do it, it's too much, but rather just be like, oh no, I have this bent towards abundance that is just a state of mind and freedom to recognize that whatever is being spent is being well spent and given to people that need abundance in their lives, and that I can not just be benevolent or some kind of like action of like conscious holiness at all, but more just relax, like let the money flow out, because it will flow back in, and flowing out is how it becomes the inward receptivity for someone else. And so because of the retrograde, there have been plenty of things that cost more money or seem to be taking more time, and time is money in a home renovation in this wave spell, where I'm like, yeah, you know, unless you just stop working during a Mercury retrograde cycle, things might be more complicated, but it's still affordable. That's just a state of mind, and it's not even a choice I'm making. It's an observation of the gift I've been given. Just not holding on as tight, not being as consumed with worry or control around the economy, personal economy, and then the larger economy, because I'm really clear from having moved from one really rich enclave to another that this one is more expensive. Equally rich, endowed areas, but this one, maybe people are more empowered around money because they charge a lot more. So, including like the grocery store, they just charge more money for things. So I've had some time to begin a process that's coming into its full bloom in the blue night time of just saying, you know, the fact that things cost more money here is probably because there's more consciousness around equity, or having things be equitable, and that the so-called poor people in the region I'm in are not forced into a humiliation or a demand of servitude. They're rewarded more appropriately, including the Trader Joe's. So that's kind of been my approach and interest, and the dreamscape is still lovely, and the life is but a dream fixation that I have is highly rewarded in this time. I found another dime on the street, and there was a penny next to it to remind me that pennies used to be the great treat of fortune when you were out in the world, but mine has been a couple of dimes, and consistently not in this wave spell. I see more silver on the street than I used to, and I'm bemused by that. And those are not grand themes. I mean, I have a grand theme in my own life that I'm fascinated by how the 13 moon year really has its plot arc, and that the story that gets told and the themes that arise really get solidified over 13 moons, and you can pay attention to them and see them rhythmically repeat, really make their presence known, realized, concretized, so there's no doubt. And this year, Blue Lunar Storm, besides me advancing to my 52nd birthday and having that full spiritual experience of moving through that portal, I also am just aware that at the beginning of the year, I had no idea I was going to move. I had no idea that I was going to sell a home that I figured I would stay in for 30 years because I felt so blessed to have it. I had instead this big swing curvature related to my 52nd birthday return to go home to where I'm from. And it's all been orchestrated directly to the 13 tones. Like in the magnetic moon, I didn't have any idea that I was moving. In the lunar moon of the lunar year, the blue lunar storm year, we had the lunar moon in late August. Suddenly the decision was made very quickly that I would separate the lunar parting from Santa Barbara where I had been. And, I started packing, and in the electric and self-existing moons, I made it through a tortured retrograde home escrow, falling in and out of escrow a few times, spending two full moons finding the right buyer, and then finding a buyer that decided they would decimate the home that I had really finely tuned over my residence and made into a what they call a jewel box, a little art piece that all the people touring and the realtors commented that it was just such a special, singular place. It would be a real treasure for someone. And then ultimately the buyers that chose it and paid top dollar destroyed it down to the studs, to the bare skeleton of the house without any self-consciousness. And I really hope that I don't sound resentful, because I'm not really. It was just more a study in our culture's rampant anti-ecology reflex. So we can be recyclers, we can be interested in planting trees, we can be pickling our own sauerkraut while also destroying old architecture in the name of our own art sensibility. And that's so prototypical of people where I've moved in the Bay Area. And it's just something to take in and not be snotty about and better than others, but just I had to go through a whole portal also of understanding that that's just how the world works. And it's one of the ways that I feel our modern world is really painful and deficient, and I'm at odds with it. But in the blue lunar storm year where I identify challenge, at least I got to see, like, well, this is one of my challenges, is when people waste old growth redwood in order to build a home that they envision. Like, why not just go buy a plot of land and do that? Well, because that's just really so often not how it works. So that's been my journey since last autumn. And the home that I'm renovating is all about, like, just getting it back to, you know, the turn of the century from 1800 to 1900 when it was built. And I'm still not better than anyone who would do it differently. It's just what I like doing. And that's the lunar way, is to not say, I'm going to separate, polarize, and sit in my corner and go, my beliefs are better than yours, I'm smarter than you, you're wrong. But rather to get to the place of just recognizing difference, recognizing polarity without stigmatizing it. It's not stigmatizing ourselves either, because I have a whole history of seeing myself as different than others and thinking that I'm deficient. But, you know, as with most addict minds, often feeling deficient turns on a dime to become a superiority complex. And so in this lunar year, blue lunar storm year, storms are breakthroughs. We get out of our own denial. I've been able to stay in a semi-positive or neutral state of mind about what happened to my older home, and just focus on what I can control and enjoy, which might be the newer one. So I'm reporting that journey, like I said, because I'm just trying to forget that I am in pain. And it's a bit of a sales pitch to me to notice that this year has been a gift of a lot of growth, and that it's all related again to the astrology. When we come to the end of this year, a blue lunar storm year, I would wish for any of us to have similar, like, orientation, be able to see where we face polarity in ourselves and our relationships and our situations, how we're situated in the world. We can see that we were polarized, see how that played out, and use the blue storm's power of demanding growth and demanding internal revolutions to notice how we evolved and became dynamic and fell out of old patterns and habits, stuck places, in order to be more expansive, which is what a storm offers. It's an explosion from tightly wound tension to looseness and release. And, you know, we want all of that, and we have it if we're here together at the end of this year in awareness. So these are the last days of the crystal tone, and I think that I have been really loud and large about what the crystal moon is for all the podcasts that we've had within it. So It's not a surprise that I've been focused and asking for your focus on noticing where your plot is coming to a conclusion, where the resolutions are arising. I've been referencing my father quite a bit in my mind and here in the crystal moon because he is a crystal person, and Father's Day just happened, and I wrote my dad an email because it seems like handwriting is actually a less fluid way to communicate after this digital age has taken over. So it was easier for me to tell my father in his time a holiday that I don't really celebrate the Hallmark holidays very well, but you know, he does, and I'm his only child. So it was nice to just really recognize that my father and I, who have had a very fraught history, he has a blue overtone storm daughter. He's from the Midwest. He is pretty conscious for a ex-Midwestern, you know. I don't know how to explain that, but he was born in 1942 in Michigan and raised without a lot of spiritual awakening or church going. And so he has had to come through the 60s and 70s in California and find his own path. And he has a guru in India and a meditation practice, and he's a good person. He is crystal. So he is just innately trying to be helpful and thinking about the bigger picture. I always use the example that my father never takes extraneous tax deductions. He's pretty well off. He pays how people used to pay taxes without loopholes. And, you know, I don't. So I have to really mention that and admire him, because that's an integrity level that I've lost in our lineage. But he, I just really laid it out for him. I even told him that I talk about him on the podcast, and I said, you know, I'm not asking you to get on board with astrology as I understand it, but I use you as an example for the way a crystal person, and we in the crystal time, are going to be solution oriented and look for cooperative efforts that are helpful to more than just ourselves. And we're going to try to calm the waters, and that it's really obvious to me as I've gone through this cycle of turning 52, where I've really always strongly argued that the first 52 years are for our DNA, for our birth family, our birth family's karma. But when we get to 52, we are allowed to step away from that. We're inclined to, and become children of the universe rather than children of our birth parents, and have a kind of second wave where we are free of the genetic ancestry and its problematic nature, because I think almost all human families at this point create a lot of problems and distress for the newborns that come through them. It's just the nature of our collective human experience that we are in a lot of collective pain and disorientation, and kids will feel that in their family of origin and attach it to their caregivers, rightfully, most of the time. But then we get to 52, and I believe, especially if you've done the work, that you can really put that to rest and start to own that you're just a person in the collective, you know, not tied to a family story. And so my relationship to my parents have been interesting over this year, the blue storm year. My father has been really helpful around this house project financially, and he's lending me money so that I can get through and get refinanced, which will happen in this cosmic moon coming up. I can tell the timing will be oriented to that. And I just also feel like beyond that, my dad has been nice to me and supportive in a way I've never seen. He's treating me like someone who's capable, and I think he's doing it because he sees that I am. So he being a logician from the Midwest, has sort of been forced to this reckoning where he can really recognize that I am a mature adult. And as I also said to him, because I think it's interesting that as we either hit 50, you know, generally in the culture, and that's a big benchmark for people, or it's about turning 52 that you just end up being elders together. The more you age with your parents, suddenly the time between your ages is less than the time you've lived on the planet. And I remind both of my parents that when they treat me like a child or like someone who's still a teenager making dumb mistakes, I'm always saying to them this sort of blanket phrase, like, look, I'm old now. Like, I have gray hair and wrinkles, so I don't really know if you can treat me like I'm green or a newbie at any of this. I am seasoned. I've had plenty of trials by fire, and you know, check it out. I just think the way you're looking at that is a little outdated. We are both old, you know, and they're 79, so I don't really think that's an insult. I think that's just honest. And then I feel old. I feel old because my body hurts, and I feel old because of my gray hair and wrinkles. So that's just another piece of this year's evolution coming into conclusion, is that I'm able to include both of my parents in my life. Surprisingly, I thought being 52 meant see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, but it ends up being maybe just a more breathy, aerated way of relating, where we see each other as children of the universe, even if we don't articulate that way, rather than you're my dad, you're my mom, I'm your ex-dependent. It's really nice. And I don't know that anyone's hanging on my dad's fate here, but it you know, my dad is going to have what he casually called 6 to 8 weeks of radiation 5 days a week to deal with his prostate cancer, which was detected early and is considered something he's very much going to overcome. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I mean, that is such an intense cycle for our body, for our physical body. I'm a super sensitive empath, and I just think having that much radiation would be the end of me. My dad is completely casual, and I don't think relaxed about it, because he's not a very relaxed person, but he's just so taken it in stride. And perhaps it's because of his age and his wisdom that he's gained. But I also just, I told him, like, we are so different. And I, you know, have a lot of, is it admiration? Like, I don't think I'd want to be that way, but I really have to acknowledge that he has that kind of a strength. Mind over matter, you know, you just face what you're given on a physical plane, and maybe that happens when you're older, but his yellow electric seed year is going to be launched in a really, to my mind, heavy radiation experience. So he might continue to be a sidebar here, because it's how I'm holding space and honoring someone who doesn't follow Mayan astrology's way of weaving through the moon's cycle. I think I also want to just throw in here that my dad read the first half of my book. He was really excited about my book because it's pretty, you know, it looks like a real book, even though it's self-published. And he got a copy and he sat and read it, like a lot of people, maybe you. He read it, and then I think he hit a wall. It went from being kind of conversational, historic, generalized introduction, alternative to Gregorian calendar. Here's why Gregorian calendar is pretty suspect in terms of logic and meaning. But that once you get into the like details about the tones and the story of the tribes that start with Red Dragon and get to Yellow Sun through this mythology that I imagine that is imprinted in this creation myth that's imprinted in the journey through the 20 tribes. I think that my dad probably put his book down and picked up one of the historic novels reviewed in the New Yorker that he's more drawn to. So that's my last shout out to my dad in the crystal moon. My poor old dad. I feel very much like if I were to brag about something, it's like, yeah, my dad's a portal. Fucking cool. that was all about me. We're going to wind down here. I'll just throw out that we are going to have this Blue Solar Monkey Day. I don't like Blue Monkey very much. I just feel like Blue Monkey is always a reminder that whatever happens in it is just not really true or real. Enjoy it. It's just, it's going to disappear. That's today. And then we will have a yellow planetary human day. Well, I don't feel excited about that either. It's a portal day, though. That's Thursday. And then Friday, we'll have Red Spectral Skywalker, and the wave breaks and takes us into the daydream state, the really cultivated daydream state of Red Skywalker. And then Saturday will be our last crystal day, the last day of the moon. It's crystal day and a crystal moon. That's White Crystal Wizard. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in La Keshe.